It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan and welcome along. Yes, we're an hour earlier today. We've a lot going on at the moment, as you can well imagine if you've been reading the newspapers. I'll come to that in a second, but we've something very important to talk about first as well. Can I mention as well that the Stardust survivor and campaigner Antoinette Keegan has said the Taoiseach's state apology must be robust, sincere and address issues including the systematic abuse that the families have been subjected to over the last 43 years by the state. She said we should never have had to go through the last 43 years, and she's 100% right. 43 years is a long time to get justice. Now, the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, will deliver a formal state apology to the families and to the victims of the Stardust fire tragedy in the Dáil this afternoon. And many of the families are expected to watch from the public gallery as the apology is read out. A total of 48 young people died in the Stardust in Artane County, Dublin, in the early hours of 14th of February, Valentine's Day, 1981. And I think you just pause for a moment and just keep them in their thoughts and our minds for the rest of the day. I think that's probably the most important thing I'll read out today. To all those victims, all the families, I knew one personally who lost three children on that fateful night. Three children, all in the one family, all killed on the one night. Well, hopefully anyway, well, thankfully, by the way, Simon Harris was quite quick to give the formal state apology, and rightly so, not to make them wait any longer than the 43 years they've already waited. And we shall give you more of that story during the week as it comes in. But indeed, maybe pause for a moment a little bit later on as well when Simon Harris gives that apology. And I think the whole country should pause for a moment and just reflect on what happened to those families 43 years ago. Now, before we get to our first topic today, by the way, if you're out and about at the weekend and you're looking for something interesting to do, well, you couldn't go wrong by going to the RDS on the 27th of April, which is this coming Saturday. The Countess Conference is on. And Leisha De Bruin joins me on the air to talk a little bit about it. Leisha, hi. Good afternoon to you. Oh, you're a little bit big there. Maybe move back a little bit on the camera there, otherwise we won't see you at all. So, Leisha, firstly, I mean, this conference, what gave you the idea of putting this together? I know you've got some great guests. We'll go through that in a second. But what gave you the idea of putting this conference together?
Well, I have to say our timing has been impeccable with this, because I felt the biggest ever historic, you know, the historic defeat of especially the CARE amendment, which I think people deeply understood to be grounded in gender ideology. And that was an emphatic rejection of that by the ordinary people of Ireland, by the electorate. Like 1.1 million people voted mm-hmm. in the manner that they did. And so that, and then also in light of the CAS review, I just think the time is right for this conversation. I mean, for us, it's very logical to do this now in this moment, but on this scale and in this venue. You know, the thing is, we've never changed. We've always facilitated a very respectful and open dialogue, but we've always grasped the nettle, Niall. Like, we haven't shied away from the conflict of rights. We do have hard red lines. We just express them in a very polite manner. So we see there's obvious issues with self-ID. Gender self-ID is essentially allowing any man who wants to fill out a form and access female-only spaces, services, sports, and even prisons. There's obvious issues with that. Any right-minded person, any sane person can see that. And certainly Middle Ireland agrees with us. The mainstream agrees with us. The vast majority of people in Ireland know you can't change sex. That doesn't mean that they wish any ill will to anyone who believes you can. You know, we're not anti-trans. Like, we want any man who wants to wear makeup and a dress, you know, fair play to him.
Far away.
No power to him. We just don't want him allowed into, you know, our daughter's changing room. And I think that's the crux of the issue. That is the conflict of rights. And we in the Countess have never shied away from trying to facilitate a rational and reasonable debate on this. So this is just a kind of furthering of those goals and aims, and it's kind of a culmination of 4 years of work whereby we've been pushing hard to get our brand out there.
I was going to talk about the 4 years.
I think the genie is out of the bottle now. People are having these conversations, you know.
I was just coming to that. I mean, when you started the Countess and founded the Countess going back 4 years ago, those conversations were a lot more difficult. I mean, people who had those conversations were cancelled. But I was only talking to a journalist this morning about something separate, and we were talking about cancel culture. And I said, we can see certainly there's a change now where cancel culture is not as bad as it used to be. I think people were kind of afraid to say how they felt, but I think they're less afraid now. Would you agree?
I do and I don't. I mean, I think the conversation has become mainstream and it's happening in real life. And I'm so proud of that. I think that's in large part due to our work and broadcasters like yourself However, at the same time, you know, trans rights activists and these sort of zealots and ideologues will really do anything, you know, to try to damage our brand and to try to make it impossible to hold such events. So, you know, we're dealing with spiraling security costs, for instance, because obviously the safety of our attendees is of paramount importance to us. So, for instance, you know, we're now going to have four times the amount of security on, you know, and we are just hand to mouth as an organization. We're all volunteers. You know, we're giving our skills and our brain power and our time and energy because we believe so deeply in this. But, you know, it's a kind of a David and Goliath fight to that extent, because obviously the people on the other side of this argument have all of civic society and all of the institutions and indeed, you know, really the heart of government all on their side, on that side of the argument. So
when you say you've extra security on for Saturday,
but
by
I
the
believe
way.
In
it. Yeah. I'm worried about the fact that you're saying that you've extra security on. Have there been threats? Well, certainly threats of protest maybe, but I mean, have you ever received personally yourself threats from people because of your views? And I don't believe your views to the are to the extreme. They're no different to mine probably and most people's. But I mean, when you say threats, I mean, what sort of threats have you had? Is it just a threat of protest or do you get personal threats?
I have had threats and I have had to go to the guards. I just don't really talk about it much because I don't want to give kind of energy to those people. But I think when people say it's toxic, I don't really know what they mean. Like, yes, online it is toxic and, you know, they will sort of swarm into action and try and shame a brand, for instance, a restaurant or a company from, you know, any kind of alliance or even questioning the trans orthodoxy. But then behind the scenes, yes, there have been threats. But like I kind of started to do this because I felt like no one else was doing it and something had to be done. Yes, I think overall in terms of the conversation, it definitely has changed. It is definitely more out in the open and people feel more empowered and emboldened to ask questions. And that was always our goal. And so I'm so heartened by that.
I mean, the conference, which is on Saturday, by the way, and we'll talk about how the people can get tickets for that in a few minutes. You're going to be covering a lot of stuff, of course, you know, gender ideology, the hate speech laws, which are something that Simon Harris only said yesterday that he has now promised, by the way, clearly that he's still not listening to people. He has now promised to bring in the hate speech laws before the next general election, which I think is a political suicide. But however, that's his business. Youth transition and detransitioning, children education and safeguarding. This is in relation to the curriculum, of course, which has been suggested that the curriculum, although age appropriate, bring in more, I suppose, gender education, where a lot of people don't want that for their children in curriculum. So the speakers that you have at the event, I mean, who can people expect to see? I know Posy Parker certainly has caused a few people to get upset, as she does at any event she goes to.
We love Posy Parker. We love Kelly J. King. And we always have two reasons. She sees this as we do, as a real battle for language, because biology has not changed, but language is what this is. This is the, yeah, that's what the war is around, really. It's a recategorization of the category of sex. It's basically saying that there's a sex class called woman and certain rights and protections attached to that class. But wait a minute, let's allow some men in there who say they're women some of the time. Mm. And that then completely, you know, instantly basically makes those spaces and services mixed sex and destroys those hard-won rights. So she has a hard line on that, and so do we. But her style is quite different. She did a lot more street stuff, obviously.
And she's been attacked on numerous occasions, by the way.
Unafraid and fearless.
Yeah.
And she's sort of fearless, and I think that's important. I think we have to move beyond the fear. But also what we love about Kelly J. Keen is, like us, she centres motherhood in her feminism. That is a kind of a core value of the contest. That was what we campaigned for. That was the core kind of strand of our argument and our advocacy around the referendum. You know, I feel like Kelly J. Keen that feminism has been silent on motherhood, and motherhood is the sort of central lived experience of women. For all those reasons, I think she's going to be an incredible draw. But like, we're also going to hear from Rona Hodgkins, and I interviewed Rona many years ago on a webinar I hosted called Mixed Sex Prisons, which was obviously way ahead of its time. I interviewed her and Heather Mason. Heather Mason is a formerly an incarcerated woman. It's on our YouTube if anyone wants to watch it. She was formerly incarcerated in an open prison in Canada. But Rona Hodgkins is a lesbian woman from Scotland and a former prison governor. And she initially had huge sympathy for what she felt were, which is obviously the official narrative, you know, the most vulnerable and oppressed and distressed population. But then what she found in her custody and care were these violent, you know, predatory men. And she talks very clearly and cogently about what she says is the drip, drip, drip effect of the presence of these men on those women. And those women are so, so vulnerable.
There's a slight delay between us, but we did see that recently in Scotland, of course, where it actually brought down a government and brought down the First Minister, of course, in relation to, you know, a man, well, I was going to say pretending to be a woman just to get into a female jail, a very dangerous man for that matter. I mean, that's happening worldwide. And thankfully, not too much here. There's only been two cases of it here, as far as I know, or as far as I'm aware of. And one of those was moved back to a male prison again. And recently, of course, Leo Varadkar was asked that question by Grip Media in relation to men identifying as women being in women's prisons. And that's up to the, he said it was up to the Irish Penal Service to sort that one out. But in relation to, just finally, in relation to the event, so people can expect to see Kelly there, or Posy Parker, many other speakers as well will be on the day. It'll be a full day event. It's on the 27th of April, which is this coming Saturday. Tickets are flying out the door. I don't think there's going to be that much space left. I will be there, by the way, can I just point out. If anyone wants to come along, come over and say hello, by the way, if you happen to spot me. I'm quite happy to chat away to people because I do support the event. And where can they get tickets? Where's the best place for them to get tickets?
Well, you can get tickets on our website, on all of our social media platforms. We will have tickets left over to be sold, you know, at the desk on the day as well, because we understand a lot of people just want to rock up and pay cash and get the ticket that way.
Yeah.
I would say as well, you know, like we don't see the theme of the conference or the title is resisting ideology. And what I'm trying to do is basically help people understand how far the roots go, where the tendrils are, how we got here, and what it all means for each facet of society, where it has an impact. And then, so we're trying to help people really explore it deeply on the day, understand it, and then unite and resist it. So it's going to be incredibly empowering and transformational, not just informational. And as I said, we don't see this as a left-right issue. I think we need to all come together from all, you know, different perspectives on this, you know, and because it impacts you regardless of how you feel about any other.
It impacts everybody, particularly those who have children, of course. It impacts everybody, and it has a huge impact on women primarily. And women, you know, I've been saying this for years, women, you know, have been, you know, fighting for the last over 100 years since the women got the vote, as they say, since the suffragettes many, many years ago. And it looks like the pendulum is swinging back again. And those rights are now being taken away from them. In other words, how dare you demand a space for women only, which is absolutely, I mean, to think that we would even suggest, you know, that women are not allowed to have a space is ridiculous. And by the way, it comes back to misogyny again, because this is men trying to take women's spaces once again in society. And by the way, supported primarily by women, which is bizarre. I find it just nutty when I see women supporting men who want to take women's spaces.
Yeah, I think that's because I think I've thought about that a lot too. And we ran our Red Sea poll a few years back, you know, the strongest supporters of our position were what I call sort of the dads, 35 to 55. Mm-hmm. And the ones most opposed and most sort of indoctrinated into trans ideology were sort of younger women primarily, but yes, all women of all age groups.
Yeah.
And I think that's because the kind of be kind thing has really done a number on women. We're conditioned
to just accept things
and socialized in that manner, you know, to kind of caretake. And I think you know, like men just don't, they can just shrug that off to a different degree. And they, like, they're more likely to say, sorry, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not a woman.
I think men worry
and
about
not
their daughters.
Care what the other person thinks of them. They don't seek approval in the same way that women do. But I think it is unfortunate. It's quite depressing that it's women sort of espousing an ideology that is destroying their rights. Well, the hard-won rights, as you said, that their foremothers fought for and some even died for.
Well, look, if people want to head along, it's going to be a really interesting conference. There's going to be some great speakers at it, amazing speakers, actually. A lot of them I know personally and I've interviewed over the years as well. There are some wonderful conversations going to be had. I think you'll be really impressed. It's called Resisting Ideology, the Countess Conference. It's on the 27th of April, which is this coming Saturday. It kicks off at 12:30. If you want to go along, and don't forget, you can get tickets on thecountess.ie, or indeed, by the way, you can go to the front door and just pay if you can't be bothered going online. Thank you very much indeed, Leisha. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Leisha De Bruin, go along to the conference. It is on, as I said, on Saturday, this coming Saturday. Now, I wanted to move on. There's an interesting story in the paper here today, by the way. The other thing I must address, because it would be mad for me not to address it. Yeah, they used a really bad picture of me in the paper yesterday, didn't they? Where, I mean, that picture's like 8-9 years ago when I was in the middle of a divorce. I don't look the Mae West. I look a bit stressed out, to be honest with you. There are a lot of lovely pictures they could have used of me, but they picked that one. I think they do these things on purpose just to annoy me. Anyway, you can't help but notice that I have been all over social media. And I can't discuss it, and I'll tell you why I can't discuss it right now. But I can, from 9 o'clock tonight. It's complicated, but I'll explain that at 9 o'clock tonight. So if you listen to Ireland's Classic Hits Radio tonight at 9 o'clock, I'll be on and I shall explain everything and go into it in great detail just to satisfy one or two journos out there. Shut them up. Anyway, I will explain it in great detail and why. And I'm really, really excited. And can I just say, by the way, in relation to the pieces that were in on social media yesterday, I was trending for all the right reasons yesterday. I have never seen so many positive posts online, be it on Twitter, on Facebook, everywhere. And I want to thank each, I'd love to thank each and every single one of you because you made my day. You know I'm like Marmite. Some people like me, some people don't like me. That's fine. That's okay. That's life. I'm used to it. But I have to say 95% of the comments were really, really positive. So I really, really do appreciate it. I was actually overwhelmed by it last night. But I will tell you the full story tonight at 9 o'clock on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. So if you tune in, I shall tell you the full story. In the meantime today, I can't discuss it. So please don't ask me about it. All right. And I'll explain why later. Anyway, this is an interesting story. A landlord in the UK has defended his pub's child-free policy after a photo of the sign advertising the premises as dog-friendly but child-free went viral. David Worcester, who runs the Lower Red Line in St Albans, Hertfordshire, added the message supports have flooded into the local community and across the world after a social media user tweeted a picture of his pub with a chalkboard caption, and he says, "I found my new local on a Sunday." Mr Worcester said the sign had been outside the Lower Red Line for years, but had now drawn international attention and garnering 75 million views. There's publicity you can't buy. And more than 3,500 replies. It has sparked huge controversy all the same. Because what they're saying is that pubs are better off without children. And children shouldn't be in pubs. That's what it kind of says, isn't it? But dogs are okay. But do you agree with them? Is a pub a place for a child? Do you really believe it is a place for a child? Let me know what you think, by the way. The number, as usual, 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Is a pub a place for a child? Lorraine, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
Good. It's not really a place for a child ever, is it? I mean, I never brought my kids to pubs, Lorraine.
We don't. My view of this is I don't bring my kids to the pub every week, but if there's a match on, like my oldest supports Man City, he loves going down and sitting in the pub with Jay and watching it, but he doesn't stay there all day. We'll go down, say, 3 o'clock for the match and leave again about 4 or about 5 or 6.
Can you not just watch it on your 51-inch LED or with an LED at home?
If I could afford a 51 LED, do you think I'd be going out with Jay?
Can you not just watch it at home?
Our local is quite, not when I say kids, like, yeah, it is kid-friendly, like, the kids go down and watch the match.
Would you stop? There's no local as kid friendly. It's full of adults with a few beers on them. It's an adult place, isn't it?
I know, I agree it's an adult place, but at the same time, if you get rid of kids out of most of the pubs in Ireland, you're going to lose half your clientele.
You think so?
At the weekend. You'd lose half your, especially on a Sunday.
Hmm. Well, I know kids are banned from pubs after 9 o'clock at night unless it's a private party, right?
I think that's too late even. I think getting the kids off the pub would be about 7 o'clock.
Okay.
I think even 9 o'clock is too late. Like, a kid doesn't want to sit there at 9 o'clock playing on a plate, like, watching you.
But, but even for the adults that are there, the last thing they want is kids milling around, you know, chasing, you know, under the tables and playing chase and lying on the floor. And, you know, it's not like I never got the whole idea of bringing kids to a pub. Now, I know a lot of pubs double up as restaurants nowadays because they serve food on a Sunday afternoon or whatever it is. And I kind of get why people might want to do that on a summer's evening in a beer garden. But in saying that, I just don't see it as a place for children. There are so many wonderful places you can bring a child.
Pub, I 100% agree. As I said, I don't bring my kids. My kids don't go down there every week. They don't. And I know my kids would get completely and utterly bored if we went down every Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It's kind of, this is going to, when I say it's like a treat, like he goes down, they play pool. Freddie will go down, he's 11. He'll go down with Jane and play pool and he'll watch the match. And he'll come back up. Like, I don't bring my kids down there and sit down there from 12 o'clock in the morning or afternoon until 9 o'clock at night.
But even when I was a kid, my father, even though he drank way too much, had the good sense to leave us out in the car when he went into the pub. Do you remember that?
You didn't get brought in and get your bottle outside on it and left in the corner with your packet of potatoes.
No, what he'd do is he'd bring us out a bottle of Coke and three glasses and three packets of crisps and we'd be sitting in the back of the car waiting for him, you know, for hours while he was in there getting sloshed.
We were the same. We weren't now left in the car. We were left, there was a... The back of the pub hat was just an open field and we were left there for fucking hours with your bottle of Coke and your tea up and left roam free.
Oh, it was do you remember the Tato pub crisps? Do you remember those ones?
Oh, yeah, I do.
It was the big bag. Well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Dave. Dave, you wouldn't bring your young fella to the pub, would you?
I go to the pub to get away from my kids.
Yeah, that's probably it. You know. I mean, the idea this guy has said that it's a dog-friendly, child-free pub. Is there anything wrong with that, Dave?
Not really. I mean, look, I have brought my kids to the pub. Well, not the youngest fella, but like the older lad, like at times. I mean, if there's, you know, like if there's an event on, if like there's the afters of a funeral or christening or something like that. But they're only there for like a limited amount of time. Like they're not sit there with us while, you know, Mammy and Daddy are getting sloshed all evening. You know, it's usually like early in the day and they're gone away by the afternoon or the evening time anyway. You know, or even the odd time on a Friday, if I had to go for a pint, I'd text herself and say, here, do you want to meet me at the local? And he'd come up with her and we'd be there for maybe 2 hours and go home again. Yeah. You know, like we weren't sitting there getting annihilated. Like I've never gone to the pub and brought my kids to the pub with me for an entire Sunday because like, A, it's not fair. And then, and B, who in the name of fucking Jesus wants to be sitting there trying to skull pints while your kids are running around the place? Do you know? So, like, I don't necessarily see it being the worst thing. And now, as they, again, there's a bit of a difference between rural and kind of more urban living. Like, your local pub, if it's a good, nice pub, tends to be like a focal point for the community anyway. You know, like, if there's anything going on, the pub is usually involved. You know, but like, I don't agree with like.
Well, maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe we should move away from that kind of culture. Am I wrong to think we should move away from that culture of the pub being the focal point?
You know what I mean? Yeah, but here's the thing though. But like, I remember when we used to live in Dublin, we used to come down the country. I'd go up to the pub for a while with my parents when we were down for a visit. And like, me and Michelle always had a thing like, if one of us was having a few pints, the other one might have one or two and leave it at that. My parents did the same thing. And so my best memories. But some of my best memories were of going down the country and like being in the pub till 9 o'clock and meeting all the relatives and having your glass bottle of Coke and your tato and absolutely fleecing everybody, you know, being like, oh, I haven't seen you in ages and they're handing you money. I used to clean up back then, you know. So like, yeah. I don't really have negative memories. And from watching my parents and how they handled going out and alcohol and stuff,
I do have the negative memories. I hated this idea of waiting for me dad. Or there was times we were brought in if he was with my mother, if we were on holidays. I can actually remember when I was only about 7 or 8 being brought to Salt Hill in Galway. And I remember my mother had this white jumper over her shoulders and we went into this pub and there was a piano in the corner. There was a cannon gun outside. So I don't know, people in Galway will know where the cannon is. And so I don't know exactly where it is. I think it was in Salt Hill. Anyway, we went and I remember sitting in there, you know, thinking, When are we going? You know, I hated. I don't like pubs anyway. I'm not a pub person.
Yeah, see for me, it was different. And from watching my parents, like growing up, I kind of learned the respect for alcohol as opposed to going out and getting annihilated. You know what I mean? Like they drank as responsibly as you could, I suppose. You
know, yeah, see, my dad couldn't do that. My dad, unfortunately, you know, had to drink till he was sloshed. I mean, my mom didn't drink really much at all. But my father, he made up for her.
Yeah, see, because like most places we went, there would have been a pub involved. But I wouldn't be sitting there watching my parents get rat arse. And we always would have been, you know, kind of involved in everything. We would have been meeting relatives or someone to say, here, come on, we'll go off for a little while or whatever, you know. So,
But is this idea... Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute there should be a law that bans kids from pubs, right? But this idea that more and more pubs might want to do a child-free policy, is it such a bad idea?
Not particularly, no. Like, I mean, like, I would nearly say come 6 o'clock in the evening, your kid shouldn't be in the pub, to be honest.
Ah, look, you're like Lorraine, you're putting a time on it now as well. So what difference does it make if it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock?
But you can't. Well, it's not really, because, I mean, like, if there's a function on, generally it's on early in the day, and most kids are usually gone home by that time anyway. You know, like, I don't really, like, you don't want your kids in the pub at, like, 9, 10 o'clock when your local pisshead is starting to, like, fall off the stool or whatever. Like, you know, you don't want your children being
around. But local pissheads are falling off the stools at 4 o'clock in the afternoon as well. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know, Lorraine. Would it be a bad idea, Lorraine, if you were local, decided to be child-free?
Our local, because we're down the country, as that caller said, we're down the country, so everyone kind of, everything happens at the pub. Our local is, like, the focal point for everything. And as I said, like, the kids that are there, like, we have an outdoor area in our local pub as well, so they're not inside the pub all the time. They're not, they can go out and they can play and they can do stuff. I just think getting rid, like, you'll get rid of half your clientele. And what about the mums or dads that are at home and don't have a social life or can't get a babysitter? Are they just meant to sit in and there are four walls?
But there's other things you can do with your kids apart from go to a pub.
Oh, I know there is. Like, I have to say, we don't do it every week. Like,
No, I'm not suggesting you do. I don't for a minute think he's a pair of alcoholics that go to the pub every weekend. But I'm just saying, there's other things you can do.
I like going down to the local of a Sunday. I love sitting in, like, a bit, like, especially weather like this, in a beer garden on a Sunday, having one or two pints, having the kids there, like, having the kids with me, and then heading home. Like, I love that type, like, the social aspect of it, I love it. Like, some of our friends have kids that are the same age as our kids, and they go down on a Sunday as well. So it's not like our kids are left sitting on their own and they're bored out of their tree. Like, some of their friends go down as well. So I like the social aspect of it. I like that part. But as I said, have one or two, as your caller said, don't get absolutely sloshed with your kids and then leave.
Okay, well, stay there. Let me just go to Nuala as well. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad at all now.
Yeah, Nuala.
Oh, you mentioned the cannon. You mentioned the cannon there. That used to be in Eyre Square.
Eyre
Square. And they brought it up to City Hall. It was from the Crimean War. And the only problem some people would say now is the cannon is faced out on the road, not facing into City Hall.
I remember I have a photograph in the house of myself and my brother sitting up on the cannon. The cannon was in the middle.
Yeah,
it was in Eyre Square. That's where it was, right. And we were dragged into some pub on a corner, and there was a piano in the corner, I remember.
Probably Garvey's, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I dreaded it, Nuala. I dreaded this idea of being brought into pubs as a child. Now, I don't know, maybe some children like the idea, but really, is it a place for children to be running around with crisps in their hands, slipping and sliding and chasing? And, you know, is it really a place for children?
Well, I've sat the afters of a communion a few years ago, and like that, the kids were running in and out, running around the place. But what I didn't like was when the kids were going in and out to the toilet. Small kids, 6 or 7, and off, and the parents didn't kind of seem to be watching where they were going. That made me feel uncomfortable. You know, I'd have to have your eye on them all the time just to know where they are.
Yeah.
And not kind of expect the whole world to be babysitting them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
but,
I know.
My sister now used to go down years ago to Banna Beach, and they would bring the kids. It was kind of facilitated for families, and they'd go to the pub and they'd be singing songs and all the rest, and they'd come home at a certain time. But I can see how that can be a nice thing.
Yeah.
But like, the kids wouldn't be confined in there for hours from about 11 o'clock in the day to about 6 or 7 in the evening.
Would it be a bad thing if every pub turned around tomorrow and said, okay, as in from tomorrow it's going to be child-free, no more kids in pubs? Would that be a bad thing, Nuala?
Well, I think that would be extreme. I don't think there's no need to go that far. I think some pubs and hotels are better suited to have kids in them, you know. But others aren't. You kind of, like say now, if you were in Galway, if you went out to Key Street or one of those pubs, like, they're not suitable for bringing small kids.
But it's the same as but you're saying an event. Like, I wouldn't, like, I don't know about Lorraine and Dave and yourself, but I don't think a wedding is a suitable place for a child. Unless it's the child of the bride and groom, they have to be there. I don't think it's a suitable place for a child at all.
Yeah, my one of my nieces now, she went to Turkey, and there was this place especially for people with children, small children, and they had a great time because they were able, there was babysitters. And, well, I mean, it's
I know,
cheaper,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. But they have a lot of child-free hotels now. That's a kind of new thing now, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they were able to, in this place, they were able to have their children and there was somebody to babysit for them if they wanted to have a night out too as well. And I thought, gee, that's with us, you know.
Yeah, no, it is with it. But I know even if it was child-free, Lorraine would smuggle her children in, you know what I mean? So.
I don't think I'd get away with having a child-free wedding, do you not?
I don't believe a wedding is a place for children. You know, you've
young children.
Any child under the age of 16, you've got Uncle Mary and Auntie Johnny, or sorry, other way around. Sorry, we were talking.
Let's not open that kind of worm.
Although nowadays you never know, right? But you've Uncle Mary and Auntie Johnny, right? Up on the dance floor by 7 o'clock, pissed out of their heads. The two of them are gyrating and doing sexual moves on the dance floor. The kids are milling around, sliding on their knees. It's just not a place for children.
The wedding's like the wedding, kids get bored.
Yeah, sorry, Dave, what did you say?
So what kind of weddings have you been to? I've never seen anyone sexually gyrating on the dance floor at a wedding.
I know, dancing poorly
and falling over, yeah, but like... I was at a wedding before.
No, I was at a wedding and Auntie Johnny, Auntie Mary was there, right, and she had a scarf, this is the truth of God, right? She had a scarf and she had between her legs... And he was holding on to the scarf at the back and she was holding on the front and they were sliding between them and I go, Jesus Christ. Oh. And he had his tie around his head and he was hammered, right? And these were in their 50s. And I'm going, Jesus sake. You know what I mean?
That's not suitable for adults, let alone children.
But that's what happens at weddings.
No weddings I've been to, just the ones you get invited to.
I would not.
Fucking weird people, you know. Like.
I would not invite children to a wedding. I just.
Well, definitely not that kind of wedding, no.
Sorry, Lorraine.
My sister had a child-free wedding last year. Didn't bring any of the nieces or nephews. She just had her wedding. She didn't want any kids at it.
Was there murder over it? Were they all giving out saying, you won't invite me kids?
No, because Sinead turned around and said, it's my wedding. It's tough. Go, don't go, I don't care.
Okay, hang on, let me go to John O'G, Grumpy John. John, hi.
Hey, watch this.
John, is a pub a place for a child?
Well, first of all, the most famous wedding of all was the wedding feast at Cana. And Jesus turned the water into wine, so he was up for the crack and he was still there.
Yeah, I always thought the Last Supper looked like a stag night, but however, there you go. Yeah. A good one by the looks of it.
Pubs, like, I mean, are in trouble at the moment. Pilot pubs have closed down even in my city there. And I think any pub that would give advance warning, you know, that on such and such a date that there'll be no children allowed in, I think would be signing their own death warrants. Because, look, I see nothing wrong with kids going in. As long as they're not still there. I mean, if they come in, we'll say 2 or 3 talk. And they're not supposed to be there after 9 anyway, but some pubs turn a blind eye. But I mean, if man there and whoever else there with their langers over their head and the children are around, that's wrong. It's one bad example. It's irresponsible. But to go in after 2 or 3 drinks, and especially, you know, with the beer gardens and stuff like that, it's lovely to sit out. Like, today's a nice day, and it's a bit chilly, but you could still sit out on a Sunday, like if it's warm. And the kids are running around. No,
I say, Jesus, it's not that chilly. It's fairly warmer. I am here in Dublin. It's fairly warm.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I always considered myself, like, I always linked myself up with the man himself, Jesus, because he was an only child. And I called being an only child the curse of the only child. And when I was brought to the pub, there was no other children there. And I used to be both shitless. you know. Now, sometimes there might be a little lot of, not that my father never would drink, but he couldn't drink to save his life. But the thing is that, you know, I used to be bored, all right, but there was the odd time, there was other kids there. It was good crack. But, like...
What's good crack about being in a place where adults are drinking alcohol? Is it, and, you know, doing adult stuff?
It was responsible drinking, as I said. Like, I mean, not a dare falling down the floor and knocking all the bottles.
But somebody does, yeah, but somebody does always fall on the floor. I mean, that's what happens in pubs. People do, fights break out in pubs. You know, adult things happen in pubs. Jokes are told in pubs that are not appropriate for children.
For a man that don't drink, you need to be an authority and fellas try waiting on the floor and fellas falling and
well, I have that image in my head of Auntie Johnny and Uncle Mary now.
You're getting your genders all mixed up, man.
I know, but it was actually one of those, right, you know, one of those scarves that has feathers on it. What do they call them?
A feather boa.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was holding one end. I can still see it, and she had...
I don't need the image.
She had a black leather mini skirt on her, and she had it between her legs, and he was behind her, gyrating, and he had the other half of the scarf, and he was pulling it up and down.
It's not even 12 o'clock in the day, not boiling.
Right?
It's not even 12 o'clock in the day.
If that was going on and there was kids around, someone should give them a kick up in the hole, let's be honest.
John, do me a favour, stay there. I'm going to come back to you because Nicholas only has 5 minutes here. Sorry, Nicholas, hi.
Hello, Niall. Nice to speak to you again.
Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, I come from the generation when pubs were part of the community, you know, so yep. Families went there and so on. And
oh, sorry, I lost you there for a second, Nicholas. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, just that you get, when I was younger, you'd go to the pub and you'd get a packet of crisps and a mineral. That was it.
Yeah.
But I think, on a more serious note, I think if you contain the hours, say, from 2 to 6 for families,
yeah.
I think it serves the communal aspect of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you keep, you know, but then it gets a bit messy after 6 o'clock with adults, you know, because people tend to drink too much or whatever, and it's not the right place for kids to be.
I'd be all right, if they went to, and I do understand that pubs double up as restaurants, particularly on a Sunday afternoon, right? I'd be all right if the parents went in, had dinner, one drink each, and then left with the kids. Yeah. But that doesn't really happen very much. They like to hang around, you know what I mean? And then the kids get bored, you know, they start running around the car park and all sorts of things.
You're absolutely right. But I mean, the Italians have it right. They include kids in restaurants, because more restaurants. But I think that kind of idea, that community idea, family idea, where it's inclusive, but then you just have a definite cut-off point, and there's no bullshit about it. Everybody just, you know...
See, where it's different in Ireland to other countries, you take, say, America, like, obviously, I mentioned I've gone to Florida a couple of times, there's a lot of restaurants. Now, the restaurants do serve alcohol, right? But there are a lot of restaurants. Whereas in Ireland, we don't have a lot of restaurants. We have a lot of pubs that double up as restaurants. So it's a different atmosphere. Yeah. You know, so there are people that are there just to drink.
They're very family orientated, you know what I mean? And I think that's a good thing.
Mm.
It is a good thing, you know. But, like I had some Polish friends over here a few months back, and they loved the Irish pubs, absolutely adored it, you know. And they weren't heavy drinkers or something like that. But it was they just loved the whole community feel, because where people coming in.
Yeah, but Polish people like to drink as well. They're like the Irish. They do like drinking. Yeah. They drink you under the table.
Yes, they have done.
I think actually Ireland, Poland and Germany, isn't it, are the highest per in Europe for the amount of units per person per year.
Really? Yeah. I'm extremely moderate.
I think it was in the paper the other day, Irish people drink 400 units per year on average. Now that means that somebody out there is drinking 800, because I don't drink any. So... But 400, like that's a ridiculous figure. 400 units of alcohol. Lorraine and Jay put away a fair bit of that, in fairness. Yeah. You know.
Well, that we do.
Yeah, they're making up the quota. Yeah.
But I think
we make up your quota, Niall.
Yeah.
But it's a great Irish tradition, the family pub kind of thing, you know. And I think if they just use a bit of bloody common sense and just have very clearly defined hours, you can keep the community thing going, the family thing going, and everybody's happy then, you know. I wouldn't agree with excluding kids, because you're cutting out
so this pub in the UK that has said they have a big sign outside saying dog friendly but child free,
that's a disgrace.
Well, they've gone viral. They've now got over 75 million views. And they're talking about it actually all over the news at the moment. Interestingly enough, it's amazing what goes viral.
Any pub that puts up a sign saying that the dogs are more welcome than children should be boycotted.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dog friendly, child free, yeah.
I mean, comparing a dog and a child, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but at least the dog doesn't run around and play chasing.
No, but the dog would bite in his side. Yeah.
Lorraine, do you bring your dog? The Bozo, whatever his name is. Benji, what's your dog's name? What?
Lulu.
Lulu, oh yeah, Lulu. Do you bring Lulu to the pub?
No, I wouldn't. I would actually, if I sit down in the beer garden, I would bring her down and she'd just sit there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she'd sit there quietly, happy. Just give her a bowl of water and she's all right. Where's the kids?
Happy out.
Yeah, you can't give the kids a bowl of water and just leave.
You can give them an iPad.
But that's not the point. The point is that you're putting in that premises is putting prioritising an animal over a human being.
Mm.
Which is crazy, really. You know?
Yeah, well, this landlord must have experience. I mean, he didn't just do that off the cuff. He didn't just decide one day, I'm going to get some really bad publicity here. Let's do this. He obviously has experience. And according to the landlord, he's been doing it for a few years. It's just so somebody happened to notice it on the chalkboard outside, took a picture, put it online, and all of a sudden it went viral. He says it's been like that a while.
I'd say it was done in tongue-in-cheek to begin with, and then it just went viral and...
Yeah, well, he sparked a huge amount of controversy at the moment now in the UK, but people saying what he's doing is wrong. But then again, I don't disagree with the child-free aspect of it, if that's what he wants to do. Now, I'm not suggesting legally we should ban children from pubs, because that would be very wrong of me, because I don't like censorship of any kind. But I do see these kind of policies becoming more common as we get more educated, and we believe and we realise that a pub is not really a place for a child.
But what's next? I mean, as a hotel, we'll say in Ireland, we're going to say, look, from now on, look, I mean, no children at a wedding, you know, adults only. I think it's great to have kids at a wedding. I think it's beautiful to see kids, especially little girls, dressed up and all, and they love the day, and they love to see the bride and the bridesmaid. Kids are part of a wedding, look.
Yeah, but hey, John, last night I was talking about dogs on the radio about something. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember what the topic was. Oh, yeah, but somebody getting rid of their dog.
She wanted to get rid of the dog and they wouldn't let me on last night.
They wouldn't let you on. Sorry about that, Lorraine. I don't make those decisions. Anyway, here's the thing. It was shocking that 99% of people that were texting in and on the air as well, I think with the exception of Steve who came on, said that dogs were more important than children. They were putting the dog first.
Well, Jesus, when it comes to especially a large dog there, I heard that last night, but I didn't contribute. But the whole thing is, when there's a child coming in, like, come into the house, like, I mean, waiting to be born, or already be born, newborn in the house, and there's a large dog there, I'm sorry, the dog has to go, like, the child.
Yeah, that was the question. That was the question we asked.
I totally disagree. Oh, I have a large dog. I have a German Shepherd. I brought two kids home from the hospital with her here, and she didn't attack anyone. What you do is get a blanket with the child scent, bring it home, give it to the dog. My dog will sit and protect my two dogs. I'm not saying she's more important than my two kids, or my three kids, sorry, but she's a German Shepherd, the same dog that was discussed last night, and she has not. No, I totally disagree. There is ways of getting around a dog.
So if Jay came home to you tomorrow and said, right, we're having another baby, and you found yourself pregnant, Lorraine, and he'd be delighted.
I'd run away.
He'd be delighted at the trying part. Anyway, we're having another baby, and you decided you'd ended up pregnant, right? And you said, and he said, right, Lorraine, here's the deal. We have to get rid of the dog before the baby's born. I'm very worried.
No, because we've had Lulu. Well, I brought home, as I said, I brought home my two kids from the hospital with Lulu was here. I introduced my two kids from newborns. One of them was a premature baby. He was very, very sick. And she sat in front of his bassinet and his buggy, and she did not let anybody near him. No, there is ways of teaching a dog about new life. No, I totally disagree with that.
How many dogs have killed children, especially across the water? Right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we all see this stuff up on Facebook.
And how many people have rolling over and suffered their kids in bed, suffocated their kids in bed? Like,
Lorraine. That's hardly a comparison.
We've all seen the stuff up on Facebook there, like, I mean, with the very large dogs and the small little beautiful child pulling the dog over there, sitting up on top of his back. I mean, I shit myself when I see that.
Yeah, but Lorraine, are you one of those that takes pictures of your kids sprawled on your dog?
No.
You're lying to me now, aren't you?
I'm not lying to you. No, you see, I haven't got my kids sprawled on her. Now, they will hug her and they'll kiss her and they'll...
Have you got a saddle for... Somebody said you have a saddle for Lulu. Have you got a saddle on Lulu?
No, not yet. I can't.
Okay, well, hang on. We got off the subject. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi.
Good afternoon. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Joe. Jeez.
Yeah. What? I get a bit confused at the times if I'm so used to having you on at 12 o'clock.
I know. A bit early today. I have things to do, places to go, people to see, unfortunately.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, we'll get back on track soon. Over the next few weeks, the schedule is going to be a little bit moving around a little bit just to accommodate certain things. Can't talk about that anymore. Oh, yeah. I'll talk about it tonight at 9 o'clock on the radio. Everybody tune in and I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, we'll be all looking forward to that, Niall. We will indeed.
Don't know if you will or not, Joe, but go on. Hey, go, Joe. Tell me, Joe.
Well, you're talking about kids in pubs. Look, I don't like this thing about this cancel culture situation where you have to ban everybody from going into pubs.
Yeah.
Like kids or anything like that. Like... I have no problem with kids being in pubs if they're there for a certain time during the day. If they're there for social events like weddings or, say, it's for small parties or christenings, you know?
Yeah.
If they want to go in and watch a match, you know?
Yeah.
There is that kind of a place where kids can be accommodated at certain times. Now, if kids are there like after a certain time and they're there late at night, that's a different story altogether. I wouldn't agree with that because I think that there has to be a cut-off time.
Yeah, well, so not like Lorraine who brings them in morning, noon and night. You know what I mean?
It's, I do not bring my kids.
It stays there all day.
If I wish I could afford to do that, but I can't.
Yeah.
So Liv is in the pub, with, that one.
Yeah, so the kids are having pints and all of it.
Oh, I'd say Lorraine is one of these old type mammies who gives the kid a swig out of the pint every now and again.
Do you remember that
when your dad would give you a swig out of the pint of Guinness when you were only like four?
That's right, I think
they were training us to be alcoholics.
Well, I remember there a few years ago.
I was only joking with you, Lorraine, by the way.
Yeah. I know you are, Niall. I know you are.
Yeah. I remember there a few years ago there, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago there, during the so-called COVID years. Do you remember when they were talking about doing away with the traditional aspects of life? Do you know when before they were going to, I think it's in relation to the night time of comedy, when they wanted to bring in this kind of a social event where people would attend sort of festivals and there'd be no drinking and stuff involved.
Oh, okay.
And I was saying to myself, this is definitely going to be a non-starter because could you ever see an atmosphere in Ireland without a pub? I don't think so.
With no alcohol. So do you think Irish people have to be pissed to enjoy themselves?
Well, sure, that's the way it is all the time, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
And Lorraine, would you ever get pissed, Lorraine?
Do I ever get pissed?
Yeah.
I have done. and I've been known to do it on a few occasions.
Okay. Would it be...
But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it in front of, like, in my kids. If me and Jay are out, or one of us are out, one of us will say, like, we'll only have one or two, and the other, like, neither of us are...
So somebody can be in charge, like, yeah.
Yeah. So the kids aren't kind of left as their own devices. One of us is always...
We're two drunken parents.
There's no two drunken parents. I hate that. If you're in a pub, that's the first thing you talk about if you see two parents with a kid stuck in a corner and they're both pissed drunk.
Yeah.
Was that the first thing we all talk about? Oh, look at this piss heads in the corner with the kids.
Yeah.
And has, like, they're running around, nobody's taking care of them. So when I go out, one of us does say... sober, like where we can mind the kids aren't neglected, they're not just shoved into a corner.
Right. See, Joe, would you have a problem, Joe, with pubs that put up these signs that say child free? Not that they're giving away a child for free or anything like that, if you know what I mean.
Well, the way I look at it, like, you know, I think everybody should be accommodated into all aspects of society. I don't think there should be any cut off for anyone. I heard the story where you said it, but I think it's in England you said, is it?
Yeah.
Where they don't want any children or something?
No, no children at all. It's a child-free pub.
Yeah, well, I don't think that would. I would feel a bit uncomfortable with that because, you know, if a child wants to be with their parents for a certain time inside the pub, if they're in there for family events or whatever, that I would leave them in there. I think that, you know, there's a lot. You see, the problem is nowadays, Niall, we're becoming too much of a nanny state now.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with banning anything, by the way, but I'm just curious if pubs brought in this policy, how people would feel about it. I don't think there'd be any harm in a few pubs being child-free for those who just want to go to a pub without children.
Well, look,
if there was one or two that were child-free, 100%, but don't take it away from the rest of us. Leave us. Like, as I said, I like going out on a Sunday with my kids, and I'm not there all day. Like, leave us alone.
Okay.
If you want a child-free pub, have a child-free pub.
Let me go to Morris. Sorry, John, I'll come back to you in a second. Hang on. Morris, hi. Yep.
Afternoon, Niall. Nearly 12 o'clock, so I'll say good afternoon. Listen, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you fine, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. You sound about 20 years younger too. I've got new headphones. Anyway, I'm just listening to you asking Lorraine there. He asked her, did she have a saddle on the dog? I think she has a saddle on Jay, and she gives the ups and downs of the pub every Sunday.
That's a secret, Morris. That's a secret.
Slapping him on the arse with her cane. Come on, Jay.
That's a secret.
I'd say I can tell you now, Morris, one thing. She wears the pants in that relationship. There's no doubt about that.
And I tell you another thing. Jay will get his oats when he gets home after being a good boy down the pub.
So, Morris, anyway, is there anything wrong with a child-free pub?
I suppose if you're thinking about it, you know, I've seen it in Dublin changing over the years, pubs building on creches and building on play areas for kids and that, and then having activity areas, and then all of a sudden the big claims came in and they had to close it down. But, you know, if you're really trying to service the alcoholic market, by all means, if you want to make money out of people, ban children. But I think we have a different attitude to the pub here than the English. You know, the English are a totally different race to us altogether. I find them very cold. Especially if you go down below Birmingham, you know, the Northern people and the Scottish people are grand. Anybody around the London area I could take with a drop of water, you know. I don't know, there's something about them that I find very cold.
Okay.
And it's the same in their pubs, you know. But
well, they're all kind of very distant. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. They're not as friendly as us, you know what I mean? Like, you get a bus driver in England, he looks as if you have three heads, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, over there, breweries own the pubs, and then landlords buy out the breweries, and they can do what they want. Would it work here? It probably would, but, like, you'll have people stoshies drunk all over the place, and, you know, like, people are... On one of your shows, they were banning, do you think kids should be banned from weddings? Now banned from pubs, so, you know, kids seem to have a bad rep at the moment, you know? I went to the pub with me dad when I was a kid, and I was sat outside on a step and given a bottle of orange and a packet of pub crisps, the yellow and red packet, beautiful crisps.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ, you'd never make a crisp like it in all your life, you know? And they're gone now. So I'm glad I have that memory. I didn't go to the pub a lot, to be honest with you, but my kids, do you know why? Because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was brought to the pub quite a lot because my father drank too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drank too much. So we were brought to the pub. You know, anytime he went out anywhere, he'd have to stop at a pub on the way home. Even if he brought us out for the day, he'd have to stop at a pub on the way home. You know, and
that was his reward.
Yeah, yeah, and we'd be left sitting in the car, you know, with a bottle of lemonade or whatever it is. And some crisps.
Yeah.
You know, for
and
an hour.
If you leave a kid in the car now for 2 minutes, you're a child abuser.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's
neglect. But do me a favor, actually, stay there for a second, Morris. Just because, and I want to go to Karen. Karen, hi, how are you?
Morning, Niall, or hi. Good afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon.
Look, I've been listening to all the contributors. I think myself, I agree with the man's decision. I don't think personally children should be in pubs. Like, if you're going out for a couple of drinks, the last thing I want to hear is kids in the background. I'm going out to escape my own kids for a couple of hours. I don't need to hear Peppa Pig or Tears or, you know, all this sort of stuff. So yeah. I do agree with it. However, the culture in Ireland, like, I grew up, for example, maybe I was like 12. I think I was still in primary school, or maybe in first year. But myself and my cousin used to go out to the local pub on a Sunday evening. We'd play a couple of games of pool, a bottle of Cideau and a packet of crisps and a tiffin bar.
Yeah.
And we never bothered anybody, and it was a culture, and it was never a problem. And even in the summer months, my parents would have gone down, And it would have been like a lounge in the back. They would have had music on. All the kids would be running around the car park in the yard, and we were all safe. The parents were inside getting drunk. But that was the culture then. It wasn't a problem. But I do agree with the man's decision. If he chooses not to have children, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But then go to a pub where it is child-friendly. Mm. So if you're going in there, okay, you can expect...
But is any pub child-friendly, Karen, really?
Well, no, ultimately no, because when the drink gets flowing, the conversation, the tone of the conversation does change.
Of course. Adult, inappropriate, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, and I've no problem with that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Paddy slapping the barmaid on the arse as she's walking by and all that kind of carry on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, and a 10-year-old child shouldn't be looking at that, or a 7-year-old yeah. child shouldn't be looking at it.
Now, Paddy shouldn't be slapping her on the arse either, can I just point out, but there's the kind of things that happen in pubs, adult type things.
Exactly, yeah.
Lorraine thinks it's okay, by the way, not for Paddy to slap her on the arse. Lorraine thinks it's okay to bring children to pubs, she thinks it's perfectly fine, but she does it on a Sunday.
Yeah, no, look, I personally don't agree with it. Like, I have brought my own, like, for example, the communion and the confirmations go down. Like, it's a pub, restaurant type of thing, you know, or a party, a communion party, a confirmation party. Some of the adults might have a couple of pints. Invariably, the women are driving, so we're kind of supervising everything. In that kind of an environment...
Oh, is she gone?
I really think you should watch your children.
Yeah.
This idea, bringing kids in, if you do bring kids into a pub and let them run loose, that drives me crazy.
Yeah, what do you do with the kids when they're there? Do they all run amok, like?
No, they don't run amok. Like, you can gauge your kid. Like, they'll sit and watch their iPad. Or, as I said, we have an outdoor area in our local pub, the outdoor place where they can kind of play games outside.
Mm.
So, but
they'll be coming in every 10 minutes. Can I have about a euro for crisps, ma?
No, they'd be told, no. Like, we get the big bottle of Coke down there. And as I said, you can gauge. If your kid gets bored or turns around, if one of our kids turn around to me and say, "Mommy, I'm bored, can we go home?" I'd go home. I wouldn't sit there and force one of my kids to stay in the pub just because I want to stay.
Mm.
Like, anyway, by that stage, Lorraine, you're not enjoying yourself either. Because if you're there trying to have a couple of drinks and have a bit of crack, and your kids are pulling and tugging on you, "Mommy, I want to go home, I'm bored," and you know, you'd just be better off to drink up your drink.
My battery's gone on my iPad.
What's the point? You'd be better off just to pack up and go home.
That's what I mean. I wouldn't have my kids sitting there screaming, "I'm bored, I want to go home," or running around. I wouldn't have my kids doing that, because I know that can annoy people. And if I was there without my kids and the kids were doing that, it would annoy me.
But are there other children there, Lorraine? Is it like a family type of event? Is it a family? Friendly pub?
Our local would be a family-friendly pub.
Yeah, she's a culty. She lives in the sticks.
I'm a dub.
You're an adapted culty. So you're all right.
I am an adapted culty. Yeah, we live down the country. Like, our local pub would be, and most Sundays is when families would go down, so you'd know that it wouldn't be like a piss up. Like, it's more like all the families go down on a Sunday. So they do serve food as well. So we go down for food. And it's like they'd have
their friends. Yeah, you see that type of thing. Yeah. But then again, like, if I'm going into a pub and I'm like, "Oh God, I just don't want to entertain kids." Okay, if you're going into that pub, you must understand that there may be a few kids here. So therefore, choose a different pub. But overall, I don't think children ideally should be in pubs. But like you say, censorship, Niall, I don't want to ban it either type of thing.
But what I think we need to do is we need to focus on the future, right? And the future should be to get people, or, you know, the population away from this dependency of alcohol. This idea, Lorraine, that as Irish people, now I suppose I'm biased because I don't drink, right? But this idea as Irish people that everything must be celebrated with alcohol, birthdays, christenings, communions, death, weddings, everything has to be celebrated with alcohol. It is it's inherently an Irish and UK thing that we do those things. I mean, and I just think we need to move away from that. It needs to stop.
I just think that's just I'm going to sound biased, but I think it's just the Irish way. And I just think it's our traditions, it's our culture. And I know it's like culture of alcoholics and culture of drink. Yes, I get what you're saying. Maybe move away from it and have it do something else. But it's just the Irish way.
Mm.
I do tend to agree with Lorraine on that. I do partly agree with what you're saying, Niall. We do seem to central alcohol around all the activities, around all the family occasions. So I can agree on both sides. But, I think if it's limited, I think if parents are bringing their kids, like when I was growing up, there was probably chances, a lot of time we would be brought to the pub. Because remember back then, you see, the pubs would open and then they'd shut from 2 to 4 and they'd open again. So you go into the pub, maybe a country pub, it might shut around 2:30, or some of them would have to lock the doors. So therefore, we'd have to go inside.
For the holy hour.
And maybe the parents.
For the holy hour.
You would have to be inside Yeah, and every, you know, like, would have been every week, but there was lots, like, when I just reflect on it now, there was many times in the pubs, and should we have been? No. Now, are we damaged today because we're traumatised because of this? No, I'm not either. But I don't think, I don't bring my school kids to pubs. Full stop. They don't go to pubs.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just bring Martin as well, just finally on this. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good afternoon, thank you.
Good afternoon. Martin, is there anything wrong with having a child-free policy in a pub?
Well, there's nothing wrong per se. I mean, it's down to the landlord or the owner of the pub. They set the rules for their own establishment.
Mm.
But I was never brought to a pub as a child. My father didn't drink. My mother seldom drank.
That would be unusual in those days.
Well, actually, it wasn't really that unusual in my extended family either, because my most of my aunts and uncles would have been the same. But I think, I mean, you know, when my daughters were younger, never brought them to the pub per se. If we were both maybe for a drive somewhere, you know, headed down to Wexford or wherever, we would stop where we could have something to eat, bring them in, get them something to eat, but we wouldn't sit there, drink, if you know what I mean. I think if you're going to the pub to drink, I think, no, best not to bring your children.
Yes.
If you're bringing your children, if you're going out, you know, for just to have a bit of a day out, kind of to bring your kids out, get them out of the house, get them something to eat, and you don't want to bother cooking Sunday dinner, I don't see anything wrong with that if you can keep your children under control. But, I mean, it's the last time I was in a pub was a few years ago. It was after a funeral. But what would put me off, and I know people are going, what? What would put me off going into a pub more than children is a television in the background.
Mm.
That really, I don't get, you know. If
I know, I agree with you. No, I'm actually agreeing with you. It's quite distracting, by the way.
It's dreadful. If I was to be in a position where someone said, tell you what, I meet you for a drink, and I said, yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going with the intention of having a social drink,
yeah,
a conversation. I don't want to be listening to some football match in the background or some horse race or some, you know, whatever it is. I don't care what it is in the background, blaring. And particularly if it is a football match and somebody scores a goal and, you know, the whole place erupts. No, that is just a total, absolute turn off for me. Would never happen. I'd rather go to a nice, quiet little beach. Oh,
that's why Lorraine is going. Lorraine is going for the football match. For a young
fella. Well, yeah, my 11-year-old loves going down to watch the football.
And that's fair enough. I'm only speaking from my own perspective. I mean, two of the things that I detest television, and I've no real interest in, I certainly have no interest in soccer. And if I was going to watch a GAA match, whether it be hurling, camogie, or football, I'll go and watch it live. I don't want to. I've no interest in watching it on the television.
Do we need, Martin, just finally, do we need to move away from the culture? I was talking to Karen there, this culture, or is there anything wrong with the culture of associating everything with alcohol in this country? Every event, every celebration has to be celebrated, or we have to use alcohol or meet somewhere where they serve alcohol. Do we need to move away from that culture, or is that culture okay? Is it just us? That's what we do as Irish people.
No, I think in all seriousness, I think we could do it moving away from that culture, but we've been steeped in it for generations, you know, especially when television came into the country, everything was associated with alcohol. Literally everything was associated with alcohol. And it's going to take some time to get past that. So, I have no issues with a person having a drink. I enjoy a drink. I love to have a gin and tonic when I'm sitting reading a book. You know, now, I read a lot, but I wouldn't drink a lot of gin and tonics. But in the moments when I do want to. But I think for me, it was always with our children, you know, alcohol was always associated with food and with going out or with being on holidays. And I hold up my hand and make absolutely no apology for it. I've said it before. When my daughters were younger, you know, when they got to about 13, 14, 15, they'd get a third of a glass of wine, topped up a drop of water, and they were introduced to it very, very slowly. And they were let's say, look, you know, you're drinking a diluted glass of wine, so that it will embellish the meal. You know, it makes it that little bit more special for you.
That's very continental to do things like that. But I mean, I suppose the other thing as well is when we talk about that culture of alcohol that we have in this country. You know, if we look at the television programs just very quickly, we've seen over the last, you know, 20 years, they've banned smoking in soap operas, right? So unless you're an existing character who already smoked, no new characters are allowed to smoke. So signs on now, if you look at any of the soaps, nobody smokes, right? But yet all the soaps still revolve around the pub.
The pub, absolutely.
Yeah, so the pub is the center of the every single soap. And I, you know, and that's because English are very similar to Irish as well. And, you know, when we look at, you know, the damage that, you know, alcohol does versus smoking, it's pretty much the same, if not actually worse. Alcohol directly and indirectly kills more people every single year between crime and domestic violence and all those kind of things associated with alcohol. So we do need to be more responsible how we do that. Now, again, I don't want to suggest censorship, because that's not what I'm about. But I think, you know, we need to start realising ourselves that it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, we need to be judicious. I mean, you're right about the soaps. I can think back. I don't know how many people that are listening here will remember going back as far as a soap that was on RTE called Tolka Row.
Yeah.
And then all the soaps that followed, you're right. The pub was the hub of all the action, if you know what I mean. It's where all the characters would come together and all the stories would play out with those individuals. But it was always kind of the with the Reardons, it was Johnny Max, and, you know, I kind of lost track of the soaps after that. But it certainly was that the pub was portrayed as being the focal point of society. And in reality, it's not. You know, the focal point of society should be the family. And the extended family and the relationship between one family and another and your neighbours and what have you. But it's been skewed in the way the culture has been portrayed in Ireland. And I think it has led to a lot of problems, because it's just accepted as the norm. Like I've said many a time, you know, this term antisocial behaviour. Now, what people term antisocial behaviour, I term as crime. For me, antisocial behaviour, I think I've said to you before, is some numpty rolling along the street at 2 o'clock in the morning singing "I did it my way," disturbing people. And it's almost accepted. And in my opinion, that shouldn't be accepted. It wouldn't be accepted in most cultures. You know, you would actually be arrested for disturbing the peace.
But we don't see that. We set ourselves up for the culture, because, as I mentioned earlier on, if you go to, say, America, you know, they primarily have restaurants who serve alcohol, whereas we have alcohol that serve food, or pubs that serve food. So it's the other way around. So the focus is the alcohol, whereas in America, when you go to a restaurant, the focus is the food. And look, you can have a pint of beer or a bottle of beer with it. Anyway, listen, Martin, I have to move on. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. Thank you very much indeed, Martin. I'm sure she'll talk to you tonight. Again, just to address what a lot of people have been texting in and WhatsApping in, saying, "Now, what's the story?" We're reading all about stuff yesterday in the paper, and I can't talk about it. But I'll tell you why tonight at 9 o'clock I can't talk about it. I can talk about it after 9 o'clock tonight, and I will be doing that. And then you can tune in to Ireland's Classic Hits Radio tonight, live at 9 o'clock, and I shall tell you everything that you want to know. Everything, because there's so many questions people want to know the answers to. So tune in tonight, 9 o'clock, on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Some of your questions, or should I say, some of your... Oh yeah, a lot of them are asking the same question, which I've just addressed there now, I can't answer. Antonio says, "I was the same down the local pub the odd Saturday night with the family playing pool, bottle of Coke, some Tato and happy out." You're a legend, Niall, says somebody. Yeah, thanks for sharing that with me. Lawrence said, "I honestly don't understand why you would bring a kid to the pub. I see the pub, if the pub was food, but otherwise, if the pub is one of those dark places like Ork Cave, why? In Italy, at least, you have table games there. They look like an alien, but what are you doing? Are you not drinking your weight in alcohol?" Somebody else says, "Niall, I would never bring a child to a pub. I think it's the wrong place for a child." G says on Facebook, "Children should not be in the pub." Munya says, "All depends with the setup of the pub." Yeah, it does depend on the setup of the pub, some degree, I suppose. Don't forget, by the way, please support the show. We keep asking you. It's coming towards the end of the month again, and we need to pay the bills. And unfortunately, we don't make enough money out of subscription to pay the bills, so we always end up putting our own hand in our pocket. We don't get paid to do this, so please do support us so we can continue to offer you this great and invaluable platform for you to come on and give your opinion. Today, it was just a social issue and a bit of fun, but other days, it's news. For example, today in the Oireachtas, they will be dedicating a half a day to the EU Migration Pact. Now, we did talk about that, you know, in great detail last Thursday, and I'm sure it will come up again as a topic again, because it is something that concerns us greatly in this country, to lose our sovereignty and lose our independence when it comes to making decisions around asylum and immigration. But that is being discussed. It's only been given a half a day by the Minister for Justice, and then it'll be voted through. And by the middle of May, we will not be able to change it again. We will be burdened with the fact that we will have no control over our immigration in this country, which is quite shocking and despicable. You can thank your European MEPs, by the way, for the last 5 years for that, because they voted for it. Okay, so thank them. They won't be doing it again. Listen, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate it. Please go to our website, nileboylan.com. Nileboylan.com. Please, all you got to do is donate a fiver, 20, I don't know, whatever you can donate. It really helps us. Or if you can subscribe, that'd be great. If you can subscribe, it's $5.99 a month and you get to see all the previous podcasts. The whole library is all there of all nearly 220 or 30 podcasts that we've done in the last 9 months. So please do support us. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Exciting times ahead. In the meantime, tune in tonight at 9 o'clock on Ireland's Classics Radio and you'll all be in for a big shock. Thank you.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.